Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. The Rockets and the Lakers tonight, Game 3. Dell, how's it go? Game 1, where the Rockets dominated, or like three quarters of Game 2, where the Lakers dominated?
I don't think we know. I think the bubble has made the traditional flow of an NBA playoff series. You just throw that out the window, because normally in a game, you would say in a Game 2 at home, the Lakers get blown out. Okay, they're obviously going to win Game 1, and it looked like that for a half, and then the Rockets storm back, and then you would say, time for the Lakers to take a 2-1 lead, and then you put the Rockets on alert. I don't know. I mean, plus because of the way the Rockets play, there's a high variance of how things can go for them. If they're making shots early, it could put the Lakers under quite a bit of pressure, and then you start to see how they respond. I think we get a close one. I don't think anyone's jumping out. I think, despite the fact I think the Lakers are a better team, I think the issues the Rockets cause matchup-wise make this a close ball game, particularly if you can get Russ to play at, let's just say, an average level. How about we don't be atrocious in the first half?
Russ is going to be better tonight. He has to be. He was awful. What the hell got into him taking seven threes the other night?
Well, that soft double on James.
Doesn't matter.
He got treated like Lou Dort. And Lou Dort didn't stop casting shots.
So no, Russ goes, but Russ has. Russ becomes self-aware. He took two or three threes a game.
He has not gotten the Lou Dort treatment before. He got it in
game
two.
He's been open before.
Not to that point where he is wide open. You do that to any star, they're going to take it as an insult. And he did it. He got sucked in.
He fell into their trap.
He got sucked in.
No,
he did.
He's been open before, and he's gone to the basket.
He's
had open looks, and he passes on
them. This is not the question of open looks.
No, he has, Dell. I'm telling you, he has.
I'm not saying he hasn't passed on it. It's not the question of open looks. When a team says, shoot the foot basketball, he got sucked in. I'm not saying he should have done it. What I'm saying is he has gotten open looks before when a team doesn't even challenge him. But when the game plan itself is, we're going to treat you like Lou Dort and see what you do about it. And he got treated like that, and he got sucked into their trap. His goal is to not allow it to happen again.
Before we left, this is exactly what. Who are you gonna? You got to double James. Who are you gonna double off of? Russ.
Yeah.
I mean, this is. I mean, and this should not have been unexpected. It has happened before to him. He doesn't take the three. Don't take the three. That's all there is to it.
Well,
Lou Dort turned into James Harden.
In that game seven, Russell Westbrook, despite what we know of his limitations and what NBA teams know of his limitations, he doesn't simply just get doubled off of and invited. And he got invited, and he was like, you know what? You can't do this to me. I'm better than this. And no, you're not. You're not.
What got me was how the Lakers, and everybody should know, look at the passing lanes. The ball's going to the corners. And when you're driving, the ball is going to be kicked to the corners. How many passing lanes did they disrupt? How many times did they just pick it off? I mean, it's not brain surgery what the Rockets are going to do. And listen, how hard is it to kick off to the wing as opposed to the corner when you're driving to the basket, as hard as they are? So that, you know, that the Lakers were ready for this is not surprising at all. And then the third quarter happened where the Rockets hit seven of their first eight.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? They got back in the game.
And it changed.
And they got back in the game.
NBA players, despite what you think would be an obvious thing, there's a lack of discipline when when guys are in the lane. I've always thought to myself quite a bit, if a guy's going to get a layup, particularly in certain situations, allow him to beat a guy at the rim. And if he makes it, fine. But why are you leaving a wide open corner three? And the Lakers didn't do that as much in the first half where, all right, the guy's in lane. We must converge. The Rockets want you to do that. They want you to give them open corner threes. The Lakers decided, at least for that first half, we're not just going to give you open looks from the three.
We're going to cut you off the basket, and we're going to take the corner three away.
We believe our on-ball guy is good enough to make you, if you want to try a difficult shot over him at the rim, that's fine, but we're not going to give you the outlets. And it turned into a lot of turnovers in the first half.
Yeah, it was... I think we're going to have a good game. I think we're going to have a really good game. It's going to kind of come down to the final minutes. ESPN is asking, who's under more pressure tonight, Rockets or Lakers? Who's under more pressure? You know, Anthony Davis has got to win. You know, this whole thing, LeBron has put this all together, and if they don't get out of the second round, are you kidding me?
Yeah, the pressure overall is on the Lakers to win the series, but I don't think the team, either team, but particularly the Lakers, since they're the conversation, is going to feel it in a game three. You go out not going into it, maybe late in the game if it's a close one or they're down, but game four, if the Lakers are down 2-1 in the game four, that's when the pressure starts to build. I don't think there's any pressure on them right now because they have all the confidence in the world. They're going to win a game three.
The odd games are the most important games in every series.
That's maybe true, but I don't think the Lakers enter this game feeling pressure because they just won a game. And they feel pretty good. It's okay. They smacked us around in game one. We made our adjustments, and for three quarters, we were the better basketball team. If they lose today, then pressure. But I don't think they feel it. I bet you they feel pretty damn confident as, well, LeBron probably does no matter what, considering who he is. But I bet you that team goes, we found it. We're going to win game three, and then we'll win game four. If they lose game three, then the pressure question starts.
Well, whoever loses this game. But overall, the more pressure, because the Lakers are the big favorite. The Lakers were the number one seed. The Lakers had to put all of this together. And LeBron, you know, he broke up a team, put it all together, had all those guys traded, brought in Anthony Davis. Now this is a super team. They're one of the favorites. They're not expected to win this game.
Well, that's the overarching pressure for the Lakers because of all the existential stuff that you just laid out. But the question that I'm looking at is game three, who has the most pressure? I don't think any team feels pressure. They don't. Not so much Anthony Davis, but LeBron's been in finals games. The Rockets have played in conference finals games. Both of them feel really good about their chances tonight. And then the loser tonight will look at game four as a pressure game. I think it's the wrong question to ask for the wrong game.
Oh, big pressure. Any team that's down 2-1, the big pressure's on them. Any team. Yeah, I don't know that. Yeah, you're probably right. But you know what? You got to take that 2-1 lead.
Yeah. You take it.
Or they're going to hear it. There's no question.
Yeah. The loser will hear it, and the Lakers will hear it quite a bit more. Because we had Eric Layton on. He said he's in L.A., and he said most Laker fans feel pretty good. And he says maybe that isn't all that correct, considering how the series has gone so far, but the pressure will begin. When's this game in? When's the game start? Well, about 11 o'clock tonight or 10 o'clock tonight here. The pressure will start for the Lakers if they lose game three, and then all the talk coming from L.A., and even they'll hear it themselves about what's going on. You're down to the Rockets, a team. You're the one seed. What's going on? If they win tonight, everything will be fine. We can have this conversation tomorrow about pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a good game tonight. I think it's going to be a great game. It's going
to
be fun.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the entire day. We'll see if Giannis plays. He's a game-time decision. I don't know how that ankle can be stable. He went and it was really good for like a quarter plus, and then the ankle gave out on him again, and he missed the rest of the way. You're down 3-1, game five. The pressure for the what we all assume to be the two-time MVP is to play again. But should he play?
That was a question this morning. Marcus Spears was on with Jay Will and Keyshawn and Zooman, and he said, no, he should absolutely not play. You gotta let your guys do what they do. If you're going to hurt your team with an ankle in this biggest series and with those guys playing as well as they are, is he going to be a detriment with his ankle?
I don't. Well, the issue is if he gave them a great quarter, but then he couldn't give him any more because the ankle went out on him again. So is it best for them to develop a game plan where they know he's not going to be around for four quarters, or he plays a quarter or so and gets injured? Now, they responded and won that game in game four, but do you want to go into a game worried about, all right, when is he going to leave? I don't know. I guess that they'll determine that, much like they did before game four, with the pregame workout right before and the conditioning and stuff. But as far as Giannis is concerned, you're down 3-1. I mean, it's a different environment, but there's not that much hope you're coming back and winning this series. Maybe you sit out game five, and if your team wins again and now it's a game six, you have a couple more days. Maybe you make a decision then. But he was in a boot yesterday. I saw him. He was walking with his brother someplace. It's a rough one, but the only reason to play is because you feel the pressure that you can't leave your team out to dry. But in a normal situation, in a regular season with a day off only, is he playing in a game? Is he healthy to play?
Yeah, it's not. That was a one. They're not better without Giannis, but they were better the other day without him.
I mean, he left and they were down by one or two or whatever, and then Chris Middleton didn't shoot the ball great, but made big shots. It was a back and forth. And so I would say you probably, if you're thinking about the long-term health of your player, maybe even getting him back for the rest to the playoffs, for even a game six. Let's say you win game five. You have Giannis with what? You're talking 3 days off now? And maybe he can give you a game six, and if you get to a game seven. Maybe you let the rest of your team try to win a game five without him. Because I don't know how that's – I don't think that ankle's going to make it.
It ain't going to make it for a seven game.
It only made it through a quarter before it went out again.
Yep. All right, 10:13 ESPN 97.5. We'll talk. We got a little tennis story that we haven't gotten to yet, and a little golf story too. So we'll do that on the other side. Tennis and golf. Everybody's like, oh, I got to make sure that I stay here.
Well, this isn't a traditional tennis story.
I got to make sure I can't miss tennis and golf talk.
Look, before we'll get to it, but Djokovic hasn't had a great month or so when it comes to dealing with women.
We'll do it on the other side. First, we're going to talk. Well, we've been talking hoops. Let's continue to talk hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. Just the best damn goal in the history of the world. That's what hoops goal is, and that's not even arguable. They're up in Tomball, and they've been in the Houston market for I don't know. I mean, we were doing these commercials. I think Lance was doing them back in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, whatever the case may be. But Keith Tate has been doing this right. He's the nicest guy in the world. He does the best job. He is so service-oriented. The installation is going to be second to none. If you don't want to see the guys, you don't have to. You just point out where it's going to be, and the guys will install the whole thing. They'll install the light. They'll put the court in place. They'll stencil your court. They'll put the stenciling on your pad so that, you know, you can put, Johnny's court. And then you also got the all the other accessories as well. The net. I highly recommend the net from the ball going out in the street. That's where accidents happen. So if you're looking for they think of everything. Tempered glass backboard, unrustable stanchion, and the goal that raises up and lowers so that the kids can actually have fun playing. That's the hoops goal. ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here. ProDunkHoops.com.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Well, it should say 92.5 FM as well, shouldn't it, though? What the hell?
I don't think they got to the
imaging guy. Oh, he had all last week to do it. Let's go. Let's go. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Let's go. AJ, make sure you guys announce. How about we announce it every break? Huh? How about we put up billboards? 713-780-3776, but 92.5 out west. Those of you that haven't been able to hear us out west, you can now. Signal is great. Signal is downtown, so it's perfect downtown as well. Very happy that we are able to be heard. We've got a simulcast on 97.5 and 92.5. So there you have it. Those of you that haven't heard yet. This weekend, man, it was that's unbelievable. And when you first look at Novak Djokovic, I guess he was and he wasn't pleased with a call, but he just drops a ball and he was hitting it back to the judges or the ball boy. And he just drops a ball and he hits it, and it hits a line judge, an older female woman, right in the throat. And she couldn't breathe, and she's laying on the ground, and she looks like she's choking. She took her mask off so that she could breathe better. Apparently, she didn't have a Boomer Natural mask, but that's on them. If the U.S. Open had better masks, she could have maybe catch. Well, now if she catches COVID-19 and has this throat issue, then that's on them. So she's laying on the ground. Djokovic come over. He immediately, when he hit it, it hit her, and he went, oh, my gosh. He did not mean to do that. However, here is the rule. In accordance with the Grand Slam rulebook, following his actions of intentionally hitting a ball dangerously or recklessly within the court or hitting a ball with negligent disregard of the consequences, the U.S. Open tournament referee defaulted Novak Djokovic from the 2020 U.S. Open. Because he was defaulted, Djokovic will lose all ranking points earned at the U.S. Open and will be fined the prize money won at the tournament in addition to any or all fines levied with respect to the offending incident. So here's the stunt, an additional fine of $10,000. He would have won at least $250,000. The first prize is $3 million. And he's going to be fined because he left without doing his media press, his press commitment. He left without doing anything. So this will cost him buku bucks. And all from dropping a ball, hitting it back. Now, he did hit it hard. I would say it was in the neighborhood 30, 40 miles an hour, 50, maybe 50 miles an hour, and hit her square in the throat. Could have been any. He didn't mean to hit it at her. He was just hitting it back. But he did hit it with negligence. He did intentionally hit a ball dangerously, yes. Obviously, it was dangerous because it hit her in the throat. I mean, he got pretty unlucky.
If he doesn't hit her, and he just it whizzes by her head.
Yeah.
What's the rule? Because it's still a negligent act.
It is a negligent act.
He was just
act.
Fortunate not to hit her. If he doesn't,
I don't think he gets disqualified.
Probably not.
Probably a warning.
No contact. But once you hit her and
yeah,
he's had a as I mentioned before we went to break. It's been a rough thing when it comes to women. Now this wasn't intentional, but he also is part of a group of male tennis players who want a male-only union in tennis, I guess, to fight for men's rights in tennis?
Well, in large part because it's the only sport where the men and women are on equal ground.
And he doesn't believe that should be the case as far as salary is concerned, I believe. That's what I saw.
Well, they have to play five sets. I guess the argument is we have to play five sets. They have to play three. We should be paid more. But in a lot of instances, when the Williams sisters are involved, the ratings are better or as good as the men's side.
Yeah. It's not for all women, but Serena and Venus certainly bring people's eyes to the television. So, and people have come, now, outside of the guys, they took a picture together on a court, the guys who want to be part of this union, and clearly there is an opposing viewpoint where people are saying, What are you doing? So he's getting it. He got it on that end, and now he's getting it here. Hey, man. I mean, he also got blamed earlier for being a kind of a spreader of corona because he had a tournament that didn't have the right, at least protocols in place, according to the people who evaluated it. And some people, including himself, had corona. So it's been a rough 6 months I'm sure he's making a lot of money. I'm sure he's just fine. But perception-wise, not a great run for Djokovic. It's the most I've heard him talked about, as great as a tennis player as he is the most I've heard him talk about in a long time.
Well, right. Well, he's got controversy, so that's probably why. He has been a great, great player. In 2000, the BBC notes that in 2015, viewership for the men's tour drew 973 million viewers, while the women totaled 395 million. I would say, though, that I'm pretty sure women's finals ratings up, men's down at Wimbledon. This is in 2018. The women's final between Angelique Kerber and Serena Williams drew a 2.1 rating, peaking at 2.4. The men, it was also the entire broadcast drew a 1.4. I can't see. I don't see where what the men's is, but the women hold their own in tennis. As far as ratings go, and the entire broadcast drew 1.4, 86% increase from a year ago. Five sets final. Well, when it's Djokovic and Nadal, you know it's going to draw, and when it's the Williams sisters, it's going to draw.
Yeah,
right. So, you know, whatever, Novak. I like that though.
What, the all men's club?
Yeah.
You know who didn't like it? His two contemporaries as far as the best player in the world, Nadal and Federer, were like, what are you doing? What are you doing here?
Dude.
There's a lot of things going on here. Why are you doing this now?
Dude, of all times to be doing that.
Yeah, it was it's a breakaway organization called the Professional Tennis Players Association. He actually resigned. He was actually part of the leadership of the previous organization, the ATP. And he was like, I'm out. I got my own thing. And he's now a co-president in that. And they took this cute little picture. All these guys standing on the court together at the U.S. Open. Like, hey, look at us. We're all together. But the two other big stars in tennis and men's tennis, like,
no, why are these women making as much as we do?
No. We don't want to be part of that.
No. Every other industry, women don't make as much. Why we got to be letting them win, make as much?
I forgot. Someone tweeted out something along the lines. They're like, look. It was something about, I don't know, raising your kid or something. They're like, look, if you really want to show people inequity, for their next birthday, give your son a dollar and give your daughter 72 cents. That's what the real world is. if you want to show them the real world, yeah. Give her a dollar. Give her 72 cents.
At any point did Novak say them broads? Need to make.
I didn't see broad. I don't know if that's something Serbians say. Dem broads.
I might be. We don't know.
I know. That's why I said I don't know. But I'm not aware of dem broads being something Serbians generally use.
Did you? How much of the tour championship did you watch?
Is there something less than zero?
No, less than zero. It's a movie.
Minus something. Is that a number you're looking for?
No.
I can give you minus.
You must have gone by it at one point and seen it. Seen a shot,
not
or almost
chance.
A shot.
Here's the weekend. I watched the three episodes of The Boys. Amazon switching it up. They released three episodes, and then they didn't release the whole season because they don't have a lot of inventory. So now they're released, and they don't want everyone to watch it in one sitting. So they're releasing them every Friday now. So I watched those three episodes, watched college football, watched NBA, somehow missed. I watched a lot of soccer too, but somehow missed the what's it called again?
It's called the Tour Championship.
Nope, didn't see a second.
What
was so important? Didn't
Dustin Johnson
win
once
something?
Again dominates the field?
Is he off the stuff now?
I don't know what stuff he's doing.
Is he still with Paulina?
He's still with Paulina.
Paulina Gretzky.
Yeah. And yes, I think they got two kids now?
Are they partners or?
I don't know that they're married. I don't know.
So he didn't do that dumb thing.
I don't think so, but I know that I think they've got one, maybe two already, but and I'm not sure about the marriage thing, but I do know that he's the best golfer in the world by far. It's not even close. He is just dominating the field, and now we'll see. We got a couple majors coming up. We got the U.S. Open coming up 2 weeks, and not this week, but next. And then we've got the Masters coming up in November. So And we got the Houston Open coming up too, Dell. Are you going to be out there? I'm sure you're going to be out there.
Are they even allowing people at the Houston Open?
Pardon me?
Are they allowing people at the Houston Open?
I don't think so. But
yeah, I'm not going to be out there. Why would I be out there?
You can use your press pass.
To do what?
To go out there. And
I don't have a press pass to that.
I mean, just hang out with the guys.
Hang out with who?
With the players.
I'm not a star effort.
Harold Varner III?
I'm not a star effort. I don't care about the players. I don't need to hang out with them.
No, but there's a couple of African-Americans.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know.
I didn't say I'm not hanging out with them because they're white.
I'm pretty sure that's why.
That's not what I said. I don't care about players.
I read between the lines.
Oh, yeah. It's your book, though.
You don't even like white food.
I don't like white condiments. No, I don't. It's not a thing about black. I don't care about NBA players to hang out with them or NFL players. I'm not a star effort. I don't care. Oh, look, you play basketball. Great. Okay. And? Does that make you interesting to me? No.
1028 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Hurry.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN975, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here, you're more than welcome. The Heat, 4-point favorite tonight. And your Houston Rockets, right now at this point in our lives, are 5-point underdogs. Yeah. 5-point underdogs. The Lakers are 5. Which way you got, Del?
For both games?
Yeah.
I think the Heat cover and end the series. The Rockets Lakers one is tougher for me. What's the number again?
5.
I think. I'll go Lakers and they cover. They go up 2-1. I don't think it'll be this 20-point blowout, but I think they just wind up winning by 7 or something. A couple free throws at the end to give them that cover. I think it'll be back and forth.
I think this is going to be another good game.
Yeah, so do I. I don't think it'll be one where a team jumps out. I think it'll be one that's kind of back and forth, and we'll find out at the end who comes through.
What I don't get is the Lakers have the recipe. And yet they go away from it. They just get the ball like he's posting up only 15, about 12 feet away from the basket, Anthony Davis. Then he just turns around and either bulls his way in or just takes a little jumper over PJ or whomever, or Covington or whomever. I mean, it's not that hard. And he did this, and I've said, why don't you do this? And sure enough, he does this. Now, he's not posting up low post and back moves and all that. He turns around. But it's not that hard. It's just not that hard when you have that kind of size advantage. And yet, JaVale McGee can't play.
No.
Dwight can't play.
Well, they're not low post or even high post scorers.
No.
They don't have the ability. So all they are is a detriment on the defensive end. So you can't play them. And Dwight didn't play at all after playing quite a bit in game one. And JaVale McGee's minutes got, dropped to 8 or something?
8 minutes.
He's normally about a 13-minute player. And they can't play. And it helped them that Markieff Morris was good. The fact that they could get a 6'8", 6'7", guy to make shots admit that he could play, and their other bigger men couldn't. And they're not going to play in the series, not to any effect where they affect the game. Because why? Why would you play them? The Rockets shoot threes. Now you want some rim deterrent, but that's what Anthony Davis is there for. You don't need multiple rim guys or rim protectors. Not when PJ Tucker's hanging out in the corner or Robert Covington shooting from where he shoots from normally. So it was an expected adjustment. I'm sure the Lakers wanted to go in and dominate with the size, and they have enough size in LeBron and AD. Those guys are still the biggest guys on the floor. They can be physical. They can be a physical presence without JaVale and Dwight Howard.
Now, and Lance has said, well, how do you expect Markieff Morris to make? Markieff Morris is a career 34-5 three-point shooter.
Yeah, it's like saying, do you expect...
He led the league 1 year in three-point shooting.
It's like asking, do you expect P.J. Tucker to make three or four threes a night?
Yeah.
That's...
He and his brother both shoot threes.
Yeah, that's who they are.
I mean, dude, over his career, 36, 38-6, led the league 39-7. He was a 33% shooter. Well, wait a minute, total. Oh, no, together, 38-6 this season. I mean, and yeah, he can shoot.
And he'll get the good looks because of who's on the floor with him. When LeBron and AD are on the floor.
I take it back. He didn't lead. That was darker, but it's not the lead of the league. It's
maybe 30. That was his best shooting percentage over in his career.
It was.
So, I mean, they have guys, much like the Rockets do, that are going to draw attention. He's going to get better looks than he normally would. So he's probably, he might not start off, what was he, like 4 for 4?
Yeah. At one point. No, that was.
He might not start off like that, but.
But he can hit him.
He'll get open looks. He wasn't great with the Lakers shooting the basketball this year. He was actually with Detroit this year at about 4.3 a game. He was almost at 40%. So he has been a guy who can make shots, and he's going to get open look after open look. He's like Covington in the house. They're going to get looks. And if you expect them to make it, why wouldn't I expect Markieff Morris to make them?
Yeah. No, Markieff Morris can make threes. I fully expect him to be a problem for them.
Particularly if LeBron goes into the mode he was in for parts of that game where he was like, no one's keeping me from the rim here. And if you do collapse, I'm going to get guys' looks. So that's what I watched in that fourth quarter. I don't know how you limit LeBron's impact on the game, but once the Lakers were within two going into the – was it two that they were trailing by? I don't exactly remember the number.
The Rockets led by two after three.
He kind of took over the game. Mm-hmm. You saw him just decide – when you guys miss and I get the rebound, I want to I'm going to force you to keep me from the rim. And if you're not, I'm either going to get there for a dunk or a layup, or when you do collapse, I'm going to find an open guy. It was he looked like I won't call him young LeBron, but he looked pretty damn good in that fourth quarter. He dominated that game, and which the Lakers pretty much did throughout, except for the third where the Rockets are great. I mean, so all that being said. I expect another close one, but I do think it'll feel more like a back and forth as opposed to the Rockets needing to come back from a giant deficit.
Problem already in the Texans wide receiver core. Brandon Cooks in question, quad. Well, have we had more quads this year?
It has been a thing in Houston, but the wide receiver core is going to be something you have to worry about.
That's why they got six guys now.
And they all, in some way, shape, or form,
Are
injury prone.
All of them.
I mean, Kenny Stills has been okay, but even last year he missed his most games in his career, I believe. He missed three, which isn't a lot, but I don't think he had missed that many before, unless there was a major injury that I forgot. Yeah, you're going to, and okay, it's a quad. He's going to be limited in practice. What does that mean going forward? What does limited really mean in the NFL now? It just means what? He only participated in individual drills, team drills?
I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll see. He's probably going to play.
Also limited, Phillip Gaines, hamstring. Lonnie Johnson, hip. With Conley out. I mean, look at what you got. Keon Crossan, Vernon Hargraves.
I've been talking about this the entire offseason. I didn't like their cornerback room or depth when he was on the field. And by him, I mean Gary and Conley. I don't like it anymore now. His name Bradley Roby,
yeah,
and Brandon Hargraves off the scrap heap, and he played, and he's going to play again this year. And I guess Lonnie Johnson, I guess that's your top three, and maybe Eric Murray plays a slot, particularly when it's a team with a quick receiver as opposed to trying to put Lonnie Johnson out there on him. Maybe Lonnie Johnson becomes a guy you put on tight ends, then go great late or after the first quarter against the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce, but maybe that's his role going forward. But they're a team that doesn't really have pass rushers and don't really have corners. That's not a good start for Anthony Weaver and his defense. So what you could see is a lot of soft coverage.
I mean, they're going to probably have to play a lot of zone.
Yeah.
Yep.
And if they're not getting pressure on the quarterback, you're allowing quarterbacks to pick you apart a little bit.
I don't know that I've ever seen a more porous zone than the Texans played last year.
Might see it.
With guys just sitting in a zone with no one around them for 5 yards. I mean, it was just, I thought it was atrocious at times last year.
And a lot of that has to do with How long are you asking guys to sit in a zone when there's no pass rush? Because zones get stretched out, and all of a sudden, when you allow guys to get into routes and then adjust on routes because you're not rushing the passer, zones become stretched.
And the quarterback has time to sit, look, and after he makes, and he stops, and he still has time to look and hit him. I mean, it was just, I thought, atrocious. Jonathan Greenhart, also ankle problem, and Cullen Gillespie with a hamstring. So they're a little bit banged up heading into it. You buy this story? What I've heard, since Tom Brady departed, the Patriots did need a vibe change in the locker room because of Dower Brady, which start to crop up at the end of 2018, took its toll on the Patriots last season. It was so bad that some of his teammates have admittedly privately said that it was better for all involved that Brady move on if he was going to have the same attitude this season. I could see him being pissed off at the wide receiver core.
We've lived in, even in jobs that we have, whether or just your normal life, there are some people, when they're not happy, that bring you down. And you may not be all that aware of it, but this person's here. This isn't gonna be great. So why would it be any different with Tom Brady? I would imagine. Well, we know that. Well, at least we've been told the relationship with Belichick had to worsen, not to the point where they couldn't operate clearly, but to a point where Tom Brady wasn't all that thrilled. I could see if Tom Brady, the leader of the team, didn't feel great, how it would affect the team. I wonder what they'll feel like if they're, 7-9 this year, with Tom Brady's demeanor have been such a big deal. I'm sure it's all light and fluffy now. Oh. You haven't lost a game. Cam's probably excited to be there. There's a new energy. Go 2-5.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then we'll see how it works out for you.
See what you feel like.
Yeah. Oh, we miss Tommy. Yeah. Dower Tommy.
Dower Tommy wasn't so bad.
If you're with Bill Belichick for 20 years, you're going to be dour too.
Yeah. I mean, it's the story we continuously hear now that he never won Player of the Week.
Never won Player of the Week for the Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Brady.
Threw for 500 in the Super Bowl.
Never. Oh, it didn't.
He wasn't our best player.
Oh, sorry. Some defender who, fought off a block. Some guy who held contain on a run. Player of the Week.
Some special teams.
Yeah. I'm sure the punter has won Player of the Week multiple times. His left-footed punters.
I would imagine. All right, News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't you go anywhere. I want to talk right now about Boomer Naturals. Boomer Naturals is the best mask. We had Suzanne on a little while ago, and she was explaining it to us that the nano silver technology is second to none, and it's all about that protection. People, everybody's walking around wearing a mask, and if it's not protecting you, then why are you doing it? I mean, that's just silly. Just to show, well, I'm all about, no, wear a mask that is actually going to protect you. They last a month, and you get another one every night. All you have to do is put it, you rinse it out. That's all you got to do. That's all you have to do. And it's so simple, so easy. You are going to love it, and you'll love the mask because it's breathable as well. And every mask that you buy, first of all, you get 20% off because you heard it right here. You put in promo code Granado at BoomerNaturals.com, promo code Granado, and you get 20% off. And they will send a mask to a charity. Oh, and by the way, they're also in CVS stores. So if you are looking for that mask, you don't like to go online, you don't shop online, or you're at a CVS, go check out the Boomer Naturals. They're awesome. But make sure that you tell them you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see the dude who apparently was trying to kill a fly and he blew up his house?
I did not see that. Did he start a forest fire as well?
No, but you mean like the gender reveal?
Yeah, that's what I was getting to.
Yeah.
Did he cause mass destruction like those people
No.
No?
But the woman who started the gender reveal thing, she said, okay, that's enough. Okay, you just started now a giant fire.
Yeah, appreciate you. Thank you.
That's a little much. I think that's a little much.
To tell someone the gender of your child?
No, a man in his 80s was eating dinner on Friday evening. He became annoyed at a fly buzzing around him. Accidentally blew up his house while trying to chase a fly with an electric SWAT.
Oof.
He picked up the electrical fly SWAT, took aim, and he was unaware of a gas cylinder leaking at his home. A reaction occurred between the SWAT and the gas, causing an explosion in part of his kitchen blow up.
I didn't even know electric fly swatters existed.
No.
Like
you know the zappers.
Yeah, I know about those. Those have been around a long time. I didn't know you could actually have one in your hand you could swing around. Wouldn't just a normal swatter be enough? Why did you need to fry the fly as well? Like if you smacked it.
Because it pissed you off, that's why.
Well, and look what happened. Who won that round? You or the fly?
Fly wins.
Yeah.
Fly wins big.
Yeah. I bet you he missed it too. Do we know that if he actually killed the fly?
Mm-hmm.
I bet you he missed the fly.
Maybe the explosion might have got him. That fly survived all that.
Look, I put flies in the same line as cockroaches. I feel like they survive.
They do.
Look, if you live your life eating poop and you're not Odell Beckham, if you missed that story, that's what flies do. They still find a way to live. I'm going to take the fly against the explosion.
Pakistani police are being scrutinized. Apparently on Sunday, they charged a toddler and five others for holding an illegal gathering and promoting sectarianism.
Well, did they handcuff the toddler?
Four-year-old Faisal Abbas. Two others hosted an illegal gathering on the night of August 30th.
When they say that the toddler hosted this, was the toddler yelling, "Hey, that's what coasters are for"? How did they determine that the toddler was hosting the event, or just the participant because their parents were there? Please tell me.
When you're arresting a 4-year old for being somewhere,
well, I don't know what he did. Tell me he was serving appetizers.
Well, no, maybe he was just hanging out.
Would you like a little bit more? Was he pouring drinks? How do we know? I don't know what that toddler did or didn't do. Did he send out an Evite?
I don't know if he had an Evite. What, in Pakistan?
Oh, the internet doesn't exist in Pakistan?
I don't know what's going on there.
I believe it does. But either way, to be honest with you, maybe the toddler deserved it. Maybe.
So, apparently, a programmer makes original Doom playable on a pregnancy test.
Whew.
What is the Doom if she is pregnant?
If she pees on a stick and it comes back positive for pregnancy, do you lose the game or what happens?
Doom wins.
I gotta see the image. Is there an image as part of the article?
There is. No, it's just, it's just the cover of Doom. There it is.
Oh.
Boom, you lose. You're pregnant.
Or you win, John. Now, from my perspective, you lose. But from that perspective, that might be a loving couple who's like, finally, we win. Game over. We beat the boss. By boss, I mean your fallopian tubes. If you are talented enough, but I don't know why you had to do it on the pregnancy test. Like, was the wife the programmer or the guy?
The guy was.
She's like, really?
Really?
What are you doing?
Wait a minute. We lose or win? Which one is it?
Yeah. What
are you? Is you happy?
Yeah. Like if
I think Doom is a pretty good scenario though.
For me, it would.
Yeah, it is for you. So apparently now there is a thought. A Norwegian-run company believes they can prevent hurricanes with
nuclear bombs.
Bubbles. A fleet of ships patrolling the Gulf has strategically deployed a gauntlet of giant perforated pipes releasing a powerful hurricane preventative, bubbles. The Tempest crosses this bubbly Gulf and remains a relatively weak tropical storm, even diminishes a little. It still makes landfall, and that's no picnic, but lives are saved. Millions of dollars in damage is prevented.
So why aren't we doing this?
I don't know why.
Does it matter what type of bubbles they are? You just,
I think,
you just see the.
Isn't that what our bubble. President really said?
No,
not a nuclear weapon.
Well, no, he said, why don't we just use a nuclear weapon on a hurricane to disperse it? I mean, I don't mind a man thinking outside the box, but the fallout might be a problem for people, particularly if the hurricane will disperse the fallout in places. But hey, just bring ideas to the table. We can always brainstorm. I think the bubbles one is safer.
I think the bubbles one is much safer. I'm pretty sure our president thought of it, though.
I feel like you attribute a lot of good things that other people think and say he
did. I'm pretty
did.
Sure he did.
Well, there's no evidence of that because he would have taken credit for it already.
Experts warn singing happy birthday increases risk of COVID-19 transmission.
Well, yeah. You're spreading. You're singing.
Yeah.
You're around people.
Like, different songs. They've examined the impact, but apparently this one is especially risky. Results show that singing loud and consonant-rich songs, such as Happy Birthday songs, spread a lot of droplets that could mix in the air. So stop singing Happy Birthday.
Did you see this guy on Twitter? He did an experiment where it was like liquid nitrogen, you know, it's cold, so you see the plumes of, I guess, smoke or whatever you want to call it. He did it with a mask. He was like,
yeah,
with a mask, and it went nowhere. He did it with the face shield, and it went somewhere, and then, like, you could see the smoke pluming and moving, and then he did it face shield with the mask and nothing. I was like, man, that I was thinking that's like a birthday cake when you blow on a candle, all of that
coming out.
Yeah, don't ever go to birthday parties anymore. Not little kids' birthday parties.
By the way, yeah, and if you're
if you're an adult, you have a kid there. That's why you're there. I'm not just saying don't randomly show up at birthday parties, obviously, because that's weird if you're a grown person. But let's make them all Zoom birthday parties from now on.
A mom in Iceland went looking for chicken nuggets. What did she find on the supermarket shelf next to the chicken nuggets?
A claw of a chicken?
Nope. Odell Beckham's favorite thing.
Alleged favorite thing.
Allegedly.
We don't know that to be true. Was it it was just a pile sitting there?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know.
Do you know how difficult? See, now logistics come to play. Did someone get up on, because we all know where the chicken, how that's set up. Did they have to get up on there, or did they?
It was on the shelf.
Or did they scoop and?
I think it was probably scooped. Leave. Scooped, probably scooped.
Man, they could have had.
I hope.
I don't know why you hope, because I feel like it's even more disgusting if they did that into their hand and put it up on the shelf.
Well, I don't. I'm hoping they didn't get up there. Dell, are you gonna be? Are you gonna buy a bunch of Jelly Bellies?
I know what they are because when I worked at, you called it the Carney place. They're just jelly beans. I'm not buying jelly beans.
Jelly bean. Their founder is going to give away Candy Factory as part of Gold Ticket Treasure Hunt.
So he's ripping off Willy Wonka?
Yes, he's ripping off Willy Wonka. And?
Does he have little people helping him?
The big winner will walk away with the key to their very own Candy Factory.
And do I get a couple little people slaves like Willy Wonka did?
What if this Candy Factory is a big loser? By the way,
that's the other thing. We don't know.
Why would he give it away if it was a big one?
You still
haven't
answered my question.
What?
Will there be little people that'll be like my slaves
and
now?
And what about grandma and grandpa in bed?
Well, I don't care about them. They're near death anyway. Probably got COVID anyway. But what about my helpers, painted orange, who make the candy for me? Do I get those?
I hope so. Oompa Loompas?
I'm going to give them a new name. I'm going to call them Thoughts.
Thoughts? You want Thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to call them little.
Those people. Are your shorties?
Exactly.
There you got it. We're done. The press box is next right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money.